and we are back again with another Live Alive episode. And first of all, I'm just going to say, I don't normally apologise for my terrible audio, because, Jesus, some of the stuff I put out over the years has been terrible. But, yeah, last week was not great. I did a small audio test before and it sounded all right. And then so I went into my episode and did the whole thing. And then when I came to listen to it back, there was just this huge echo in the room. And I was just like, oh, bugger. Just like, there are many, many things I can fix when it comes to audio. You know, I've even managed to make Rich sound good over the years. But sadly, I can't fix an echo. It's a bastard one to fix. So I've made a few little adjustments today. And hopefully today's episode will come out sounding a little bit better, a little bit clearer for your lovely ears and your listening pleasure. But yeah, I can only apologise for last week's episode, because I thought it was quite a good one, to be honest with you. But yeah, this week we are going to be talking about Live Alive's Cowboy chapter. And yes, Angry Ass Black Dude pointed out for next week's episode, which is going to be on the wrestling chapter, I'm probably going to struggle to get a lot of content out for that. So yeah, you'll all have to bear with me, I'm afraid. Let's hope beyond hope that I can do something good for the wrestling chapter. You know, it might just turn into a half hour thing about Hulk Hogan. Who knows? So the wrestling chapter. No, not wrestling chapter. Sorry, the cowboy chapter, which was actually called Wandering. Yeah, you are a cowboy. But let's talk about, first of all, the artist. So, as I mentioned in last week's episode, they got in a special artist from the same studio, Shogakukan. So they got so there's this Shogakukan thing. They were working just down the road from Square at the time. And yeah, they managed to get an artist in for every single different scenario. And so the scenario for the artist for this scenario, the cowboy chapter, is Usamu Ishiwata, who he's done several works over the years. Not many that I particularly recognise. Now, again, I'm not the biggest manga head in the world. I don't really know much about manga at all, to be honest with you. But yeah, it looks like he's done a few called Super Rider. There's Passport Blue, something called BB, Happy Man. And then the one that I have actually heard of, which is called Love. Oh, yes. But what sort of love is it? It's tennis, people. He did a tennis manga. And this started coming out back in 1994, Love. His manga called Love. And it ran all the way to 1999. So it was very successful. By all means, you know, you don't get a manga to run for 6 years without it being a decent, half-decent manga. And yeah, a tennis manga called Love. Like, you know, he's hit the nail on the head there with the name of that. He's really, really nailed it in. But yeah, you know, good stuff. 1994, I think that was around about when Alive Alive came out as well. So he really hit the ground running this year. This was a good year for him. Yeah, and it used to appear in the Weekly Shōnen Sunday. Yeah, which also had, yeah, Detective Conan, Case Closed. One of the biggest mangas ever, you know, from last week. So yeah, that's my little section there. And so he did all the character art for the cowboy chapter. Thank you. So this is, again, it's a very, well, not again, because, yeah, sorry, I'm thinking in the future, not in the past. In the past, in the future of the past. What, because, you know, I've played a couple extra chapters now. I've also played The Wrestler. I've also played The Space One. I've played half of the Caveman chapter. But in this chapter, this is one of those, you know, one and done things. There's not a lot of fighting. There's not a lot of grinding. So the first two chapters we had with Kung Fu, there was a lot of fighting. You go out and fight against tigers. You had staged fights throughout, as well as the big boss gauntlet at the end that they put in there. And then again, in the ninja chapter, there was 100 people you could wander around the map and kill if you wanted to, or you could go pacifist and not kill them. You know, the choice was always up to you. But in this one, there's just two or three staged fights and that's it. The rest of it is all about how big of an arsehat the final battle is going to be. So I'll come back round to that in a minute. Let me talk about what actually happens. So the actual chapter takes place in the old American West. You know, you've got a very, just think Clint Eastwood, yeah? You know, good, bad, the ugly. You know, Fistful of Dollars, that's what I was trying to think of. Trying to think of the first one. You know, Fistful of Dollars, a few dollars more, good, the bad, and the ugly. Oh man, I loved those films. Those films were magnificent. I'll have to try and remember who the director was. I can't remember off the top of my head now. But yes, you know, you are in the Old West. And you are the Sundown Kid. You know, you see the sheriff come out of his house. He walks down the road, walks into the pub, puts his sign up, says, Sundown Kid, $500. Or $5,000 reward for his head, or whatever it is, you know. I'm supposed to be some sort of bad man. And you start off and you get your first little bit where you see the Sundown Kid. And he's running through the open wilds of the American Wild West on the back of his horse. And he's just enjoying himself, you know. He's having a good run out. And suddenly this guy hunts you down and challenges you to a gunfight. And this guy's called Mad Dog. And this is your first staged fight. So you have your little staged fight and it is absolute piece of piss. Just one shot and the guy's down. So you shoot Mad Dog and then you carry on and off you go. And then you come into this little quiet town. You walk up to the bar. And then you find out, this whole little sort of scene takes place where this kid calls him. He's called Billy. You know, Billy the kid. You know, walks into the thing. But it's actually a kid. And starts having to go at his dad. You know, he's like, you're a fucking terrible sheriff, dad. You're the worst. You let these people come in here and ruin our town. And yeah, apparently, as it turns out, the town's being besieged by bandits. Who basically just, you know, they're called the Crazy Group. And they're just coming in, wrecking the town, making the townspeople pay money and stuff for the upkeep that they're not really doing. It's just terrible. They're making the lives of the people who live there an absolute misery. And so you get to know this little town. They're all sitting in this pub. And you've got, there's this woman whose name I've already forgotten. That's terrible. I should make better notes of these things. But yeah, there's a woman who's kind of, she's like one of the head people in the story. She's kind of quite important. She's the one who's always talking to Billy and getting the sort of story progressing a little bit. She works in the pub. There's the barman. There's a mariachi band who are all Mexicans playing their instruments. And there's a really cool thing with that later on that I'm going to get to. So there's the music going on in the background and you've got this little band playing as well at the same time. And then sitting at the tables, you've got Clint. Yep, Clint. So Clint Eastwood sitting at the table. You've got John Wayne sitting on the other side of the table. And then the other two cowboys here are probably not as well known, I don't think. So I think one of them's called Gene, who I think might refer to Gene Autry, who's kind of, he used to do a lot of like singing. I think he's more famous for being like a sort of a country singer in America. But he also did a lot of cowboy films as well, including like The Old Corral. So I used to remember these being on TV and stuff when I was growing up and watching them with my dad. But also, the other one, even more obscure, is a guy called Gibson. Now, you might think, hey, that's Mel Gibson. Like, no. Mel Gibson's not a cowboy. He's just not very nice to certain people. but no, I think it's actually referring to a guy who's called Hoot Gibson. who basically made a ton of early cowboy films. You know, he kind of made them during the period between like World War One and World War Two, and then just after that as well. And his name, Hoot Gibson is his name. He used to be a rodeo rider and then really got into making lots and lots of movies. And when I say lots, I mean lots. You're talking about like getting close up towards 100. Like, you know, and this guy started off making silent films. So if it is Hoot Gibson that they're talking about, that is a deep pull, Live Alive. I respect you for that. A very deep pull. So, they've pulled in some good characters for this sort of stuff. Unfortunately, though, they did decide to call the mariachi band Delos, Sancho and Pancho. So... yeah, just very generic kind of mariachi band names. Anyway, Gemma, that's the one. Is it Gemma? Gemma, is that the girl? I forget. Annie. No, Annie, yeah, Annie was the girl. God, my brain, where is it today? I think it's just sloshed out my ears. So, yes, Annie the girl. So, anyway, you're in the bar, you find out about this gang, but then suddenly Mad Dog turns up and is just like, hey, do you know who that guy is over there? He's the Sundown Kid, and I'm here to take him in. And it's just like, no, he can't be. He's going to help us with the gangs. And you're like, did I agree to that? Go away, Billy, go away. Mad Dog just calls you out, tells you to go outside. The sheriff sits there and does nothing. Billy's like, Dad, you're a pussy. So you learn that the sheriff is Billy the Kid's dad, you know, to start with. So you go outside, and you end up in this one-on-one battle again with Mad Dog. And again, you beat Mad Dog. And it's just like, why is this guy chasing me, man? I'm so much better than him. But no, he continues to be a thorn in my side. A thorn that one day I shall take care of with deep, deep vengeance and anger. Misery. You'll suffer unto me. Anyway, so you defeat Mad Dog. But do you? You actually end up shooting some people in a bush. Yep, I know people. Wow, this is going crazy. And then, so it turns out these two people were kind of spying on you, and they're part of this crazy group gang thingy, who are actually led by a guy called Odio. 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 I really want to do some sort of Dio joke by the end of this series of thingies. I might have to sing a Dio song. So put your requests in to @Metanica and tuned. God, I can't speak. @Metanica, MetunnNica on Twitter, and let me know which Dio tracks you would like me to sing when it comes to the end of this series, okay? Ride the Tiger! You can see his straps, but you know he's clean. You and Mad Dog end up teaming up together to take on and eradicate this band of assholes from this town. You are going to kill the crazy group led by Odio himself. But first of all, he's got a big gang and there's only two of us. So what are we going to do? And apparently we're then given a time limit. I think we've got 8 dongs of the bell until the gang turn up. So this is kind of like, this is a very much sandboxed RPG. You know, you've only got a couple of battles at the beginning, one big one at the end, and then everything else is on a time limit in the middle. And what you've got to do is you've basically got to explore the town to try and find items that you can then use to lay as traps to take out some of the gang members to then give you a bit of an easier ride when it comes to the end boss. Or some of the items you can actually save and use for the battle. So I took my standard approach for these sorts of things. Once I was faced with a time limit and having to go search stuff, I first of all searched the bar, where you find a few things like, you find some bourbon, you find some empty bottles, you know, you find cigar ends and things like that. And you think, well, how are these even useful? I even tried to take the barmaid's dress, her nightie, but she slapped me in the face. That's a fun bit. Walk up and try and take a nightie. Even better is, once you do get it, give it to her later on to set as a trap. There was one as well where I managed to get the barman's sexy poster out of a cupboard. I can't remember quite how I did that, but I got it. That was a funny one. I did what I normally do, and I made myself walked around the town clockwise. You know, I was going to be very, very methodical. Most of the things were kind of in hidden rooms as well. Like there would be doorways hidden underneath staircases going up to a top level. So there was a lot of blank spaces around where there was nothing. But, you know, you just had to kind of run around the map, mashing X. Hopefully you'd find stuff. I even found some horse dung at one point. I can't quite remember what effect that had on the end scene. But, you know, it was one of those things. Got to the sheriff's office as well. Make sure you check the gun rack in the sheriff's office to get a blunt line to improve Sundown's weaponry. And then, yeah, well, as you're walking around as well, like Mad Dogs, he mentions like, ah, you've got all these ingredients to make a Molotov cocktail. Fun, fun, fun in the sun, sun, sun. So, yes, made myself up a few Molotov cocktails as I was walking around. This is going to be the bomb. And then, you just pick up all these general little items and then you've got to make your way back to the bar. Again, you're on a time limit. Don't forget that. You're on a time limit. And you've got to go back to the bar and then you have to decide, I'm done searching for items. And it kind of moves into the next part where you then have to give the items to the people and then they will go out and set traps. Now what the game doesn't tell you is that there's a hidden speed mechanic in this game as well. So certain characters are quicker at laying traps than others, which means some of them are very slow, so you can give them something and they may not make it back in time, or some of them are very quick and they will make it back in time and you can give them another job to go out and set some more tasks. And I think eventually you can get to the point where you could take out the whole gang and only have ODO to face. Now, I end up with 4 gang members left, but, you know, I'll get to that in a minute. So some of the things you can... you can set up multiple traps, but then that didn't seem to have an effect. Like I put out at least 3 Molotov cocktails. I only saw it used once during the end sequence. But you know, the items that you can gain and use as traps are the barman's poster, his sexy poster, which was great. It caused the guy to fall off his horse and then slowly crawl across the floor up to the poster to go, why is this here? Why is something like this here? And it has just got a little picture of like a really terribly drawn picture of a woman holding her head. But yeah, that's the barman's sexy poster. There's a carrot which will cause the horses to stop and eat, and then the people go flying off. Coal tar. Now, I did get the coal tar, but I don't remember what the animation was. Because basically the gang members ride in from the left and the right hand side of the screen into town, and the traps that you lay are suddenly there and they'll like fall into holes if you've given them, say, the shovel. There's dynamite, which will blow them up. I did see that one. Annie has a frying pan where she hits one of them in the face. Horse dung. Again, I remember I had the horse dung, but I don't remember what it did. There was the rope, which was great. They put the rope across the floor and the horses fell over and all the people went over. And then there's the slingshot, which Billy has, which he used to literally just ping people off. So yeah, for some reason Annie can only use the frying pan because I assume the game is sexist and hasn't seen the Me Too movement recently. And Billy can only use the slingshot because he's a kid. Only kids use slingshots. This is known truth of the world, people. But yeah, that is a great little scene. You've done all this hard work of running around, trying to get all the items together as quickly as possible, then dishing them out and seeing them run off and go out things. And then also, while you're doing it as well, it's great. If you go talk to Sancho and Pancho, because one of the hidden mechanics as well is that Delios is either, who's the middle mariachi band guy, he's either super, super quick or super, super slow. And you don't know which one it is. Now, I think from talking to Sancho and Pancho, you can kind of work out which one it is, but you just might as well just kind of just not use him, basically. And the bartender as well. I think he's... the sheriff. The sheriff is extremely slow, so you don't talk to the sheriff. Don't give him anything to go with. There's also a little mechanic between our 4 cowboy men, so Wayne, Clint, Gibson, and Gene, who... Again, they're just like, hey, I'm faster than Gene. Do you think Gene's faster than me? And then it's just like, I can't be bothered to work this out. All I can say is that for me, Wayne was extremely fast and got back to set a second trap. Wayne's wife, who just turns up out of nowhere, was even faster. But yeah, Gibson seemed to be very slow. He only just made it back before the final bell tolls. For whom the bell tolls? But yeah, if you give an item to Sancho or Pancho to go out and lay, then, and also to Delios as well, but you can do it, their part of the music in the background just stops playing. So like I think Sancho was playing a guitar, and when I gave him something, suddenly the guitar stopped, so you could still hear the drums and the panpipes. And then I gave the other one to Pancho, I think it is, or I can't remember what names I'm saying now. It's all beginning to just turn into mush in my mouth. But yeah, I gave one to him, and then suddenly the panpipe stopped, and then all I had was just the drums playing in the background. I was like, that is such a lovely little touch to put in the game. Like, I love shit like that. That is so, so cool. Kudos to you, Squaresoft. Kudos to you. But yes, eventually you get this big scene with all the people coming in, all your traps going off, and it is so satisfying. So, so satisfying. And then you get thrown into the battle with whoever's left. Odio standing at the front and his men behind him. Now, the thing with this battle is don't stand diagonally south of Odio, because he's got a Gatling gun and he will plow you with his Gatling gun. He's not going to be gentle. He's going to plow you with his Gatling gun. Head up, get out of his way. Okay. Now, I did save a couple of Molotov cocktails, so I was throwing them at the other four people who managed to make it through the traps, trying to get them down. And just generally trying to pick them off as best as I can. This wasn't actually the easiest to fight. You know, I definitely say the end boss of the ninja chapter was harder, but I had a bit of fun with it. It was enough of a challenge of me trying to take him down. Just moving around, making sure I was using my double shot, and yeah, just trying to make sure I keep out of way of the diagonal for him. Now you can also, which I thought was really cool, and I did this to Mad Dog, because yeah, Mad Dog's always helping you out through this chapter. Obviously, of course, de-equip everyone, put all the good shit on Sundown, and put the bad stuff on Mad Dog. And also make sure you equip when you decide to help the town. I forgot about this. The sheriff's son Billy gives you the sheriff's badge, and the sheriff basically says to you, "Yep, I'm not going to do anything, so you might as well hold on to that badge for now." It's called the Peacekeeper badge. Equip it on Sundown's hand, because it gives you a big stat boost. Yeah, I'll just throw that one in there. So you're doing this big fight, and eventually you manage to take him down, and then Odio, for some reason, turns into a horse. It's just like, what? Yeah, you heard it. He turned into a horse, okay? He turned into a horse. You listening? Turned into a horse. Now, apparently, there's an option just before you go out to fight him where you can choose, I think it's like let's go or dot, dot, dot. If you choose dot, 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 it kind of gives you another ending. But I'll go through the ending I did first. It's only a very small minor difference at the end. So, yeah, so you kill Odio, and then he turns into this horse. And apparently, the people of the town are just like, oh, yeah, there was this squadron of people who got like wiped out by some Cherokees, and they were really angry, and the last horse survived and became this mythical horse thing. And it's just like, what the fuck are you people talking about? That man just turned into a horse! Come on! That man just turned into a horse and ran off! What's going on? Like, seriously, what's going on? But yeah, they're just all like, yeah, this is fine. This is what happens. It's just like, man, come on, people. He turned into a horse. He turned into a horse. Anyway, so in the alternative ending, and then basically I had a one-on-one battle with Mad Dog again, because he's trying to capture me, and I kill him this time. I actually properly kill him, and that's it. He's dead. I was just like, oh wow, fuck, I actually killed Mad Dog. It's just like, whoa, man. That's what I did. I killed Mad Dog. I feel like a bastard for it. But apparently in the alternative ending, you can choose to run away. And then, not run away, but you end up essentially running away from Mad Dog, who then chases you down again. You get to have another one-on-one battle with him, but he comes in on Odio's horse. And then once you then kill him at the end, or beat him and he stays alive, I don't know, I didn't see it, then Odio then again just runs away. And it's just like, okay, so there is no difference. Odio still turns into a horse and runs off, a big purple horse. Like, Got no idea what's going on there. And he buggers off. but yeah, and then that kind of, and then that brings an end to the cowboy chapter. And I have to say, this chapter was a lot of fun. It was, if you are going to play this game, and you just want to, even if you don't want to do the hard stuff in the ninja chapters, even if you don't want to beat the game, if you just wanted to have a little taster of what this game has to offer, I would suggest playing the cowboy chapter and the sci-fi chapter, 100%. They are just really nice little condensed mini games by themselves. Frost will disagree. I know he didn't particularly like the the space chapter, I think it was. And Scott's got the worst taste on earth when it comes to things like this. The cowboy chapter was really, really good fun. Very nice, condensed little game. I'd love to see what the speed run of this is like. Oh my god, yeah, I should be talking about speed runs for these games. They have speed runs on the individual chapters. Welcome to Bill's Speedrunning Corner. Welcome to Bill's Speedrunning Corner. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to get a jingle for that, for this section. It needs to happen, people. It needs to happen. Somebody, tell me what music I should use for a jingle and I'll do it. Yes, so I'll quickly go over some of the older ones. So the Kung Fu chapter can actually be completed in a top time of 36 minutes and 7 seconds. Oh yeah. By Airpon, who is actually fairly, I've seen his name so many times in the leaderboards when it comes to games. yeah, that's pretty cool. You've also got in the Ninja chapter, so this can be completed in 20 minutes and 43 seconds, again by Airpon. so that's not too bad, my friend, not too bad. And then finally, with our Cowboy chapter, which is apparently the bad ending. I don't know which one that is, but that can be completed in 2 minutes and 20 seconds. 2 minutes and 20 seconds by Airpon. What? What? 2 minutes? What? What's the bad ending when it's at home? I didn't see a bad ending. Is there a good ending? There's no good ending runs. Wow. Oh, no, there is. There's the good ending runs. Oh, wow, I'm going to find out what the bad ending is. Yeah, so 23 minutes and 41 seconds you can smash through this game in. Let me find out about the bad ending and I'll get back to you. Oh, yeah, man, some cool stuff here. So, essentially, the Ninja chapter has three endings. You've got the bad ending, which I think is where you walk out and you have to go defeat your own boss at 20 minutes and 52 seconds. And then you've got the pacifist ending of 24 minutes 47 seconds. So that's where you don't kill anything. And then you've got the genocidal one, which is where you have to kill everything, of 54 minutes and 57 seconds. So just goes to show, genocide is a waste of time. Okay? You get that? Now, the cowboy people, the cowboy bad ending, is apparently you can lose the gunfight to Mad Dog, the very first one, and die, and then you get the bad ending. And yeah, the guy literally starts the battle. He kind of runs right up to him, down, turns round, shows him his back, and then gets shot in the back and dies instantly. And it's just like, oof, Jesus, what happened there, man? You know, you got done down by Mad Dog. Mad Dog's a pussy. So yeah, that was Bill's Speedrunning Corner. Bill's Speedrunning Corner. Beep. He's flatlined. Yeah. So. I really fully recommend the Cowboy chapter. I think it was a lot of fun. Really, really good bit of fun. And yeah, check out the, if you like manga, check out Love. You know, you might find love in tennis. or what was that film? It was a film called Wimbledon, wasn't there, I think, or something like that. It was a mediocre love film. Or romantic comedy, should I say. But yeah, okay. So that's it for the wrestler chapter. Oh, I keep saying wrestler. That's it for the cowboy chapter, people. Next week will be the wrestler chapter, where we're going to be, yeah, brother, talking about put another Slim Jim on the Barbie, baby. Slim Jim on the Barbie? What is that saying? Crack open another Slim Jim, baby. Sorry about that. Anyway, I'm not very good at Hulk Hogan impressions. But yeah, we will be discussing Hulk Hogan's life, times, and tribulations in depth. No, I'm only joking. But we will be talking about the wrestling chapter, which does feature a Hulk Hogan ripoff. but yeah, I'll talk about that next time. So yeah, guys, I've been Bill. This has been another Trappings with hopefully decent audio this time. God, I pray that this audio has come out okay. But yes, I've been Bill, he's been Dave, she's been Sarah. I'll see you on the flip side. Clint, what are you doing with the gun? Put the gun down, Clint! No!
Oh, why? Gene didn't deserve it.